Fab Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We are live in Las Vegas, poolside here at the MGM Grand. It is day number two of our Pac-12 tournament shows brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. It is a big day here in Vegas. University of Arizona Wildcats will be playing later today here in Vegas. We're going to talk about that, their matchup with Cal, the absolute train wreck disaster that was Arizona State basketball yesterday. And much more around NFL free agency. DeMarco Murray is in Philadelphia. What does that mean for the Cardinals and Adrian Peterson? Much, much more straight ahead. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. I got to tell you, with all the snow that fell last week at the Sunrise Ski Resort, got to head on up to Sunrise and enjoy this time of year and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Why the Honda Resort and Casino? Because great place to stay, great food, great fun. Pull down on the slots. You can get all your ski equipment at the ski shop. What a great day on the slopes at sunrise. And then come back at night, eat some food, pull down on the slots, win big, great entertainment, have some fun. What more could you ask for? It's the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. It's in the beautiful White Mountains. Eric Sorensen is back in our Sports 360 AZ studios. I think the story today is Will Ferrell. Am I gauging everything correctly?
Yes, you are gauging everything correctly from Sin City. So congrats on that.
Yeah. I did not put down money in the sports book on whether Will Ferrell will make it to all these major league parks today back in the Valley. I will talk about up here at the Pac-12 tournament. What I have to wonder is, Will Ferrell is trying to play in five Cactus League games today in a cancer charity. I have to wonder, how is he going to get around from ballpark to ballpark? Now, Bruce Hafner is as good a guy as I know, and you all know Bruce Hafner from Channel 3 and now Channel 5-3. And Bruce, it's the Penguin Air helicopter that you're driving people around doing your reports. Am I right about that?
That's right, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Now, Bruce, Will Ferrell, if he's going to go from ballpark to ballpark, you're a veteran chopper pilot, well-known throughout the state of Arizona. Is it possible in 2 hours for him to go, 2 to 3 hours, for him to go to five different ballparks and get this done today, just from your veteran experience?
Well, you know, in my experience of 20 years of flying a news chopper here in Arizona, I would say we could, or somebody could, drop Will Ferrell off at home plate in each one of those parks, and he can play a different position, and, you know, his stats will go way up.
So a guy like yourself could maneuver a helicopter with fans in the stands down on home plate in five different ballparks in a span of 3 hours. Is that what you're saying? A guy like you?
Somebody like me, a helicopter pilot, you know, somebody that's been doing it for a little while and was comfortable going into those situations. You know, a guy like me, I flew the mascot into my son's Horizon High School versus Pinnacle this last year. And, you know, things like that are a big deal for the fans. And obviously, with a guy like Will Ferrell, I mean, how much bigger does it get than that? I've flown space shuttle pilots. I've flown Luis Gonzalez. Will Ferrell's right up with those two guys. And I'm not saying it's us that's flying it. I'm just saying it. We'd love to have that opportunity.
Sure. Now, if it were you, let's just say it were you, what would the itinerary look like, do you think? You know, if there's another chopper pilot, would you start out in Mesa? Where would you start out?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I've been in touch with Major League Baseball, HBO, the Diamondbacks, the White Sox, Salt River Field, and Camelback Ranch down here. Helping
really?
Them coordinate this big day for Will. And Will, you know, he's just something else, man. The guy, he's all game for anything. And so we have been organizing this, and I've got a little, you know, I gave them an idea. Now, I'm not sure if we'll be able to pull it off, or whoever the pilot is will be able to pull it off, Will. But how about Will thinking, take me out to the ball game while in the air?
It really sounds like you're very involved in this process today with Will Ferrell there, Bruce. It just sounds like, I mean, you're being consulted about this. Do you have another pilot or another group in mind? You don't have to name names, but it sounds like you're very close to today's story.
You know, all I have to say is these stories come along every once in a while in your life that are just bigger, way bigger than everybody. And I think this is one of those stories. And I will just have to say at this point that I'm on double secret probation.
Ah, I see. I see.
So can't really divulge who's flying, Will.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that a helicopter's involved to us is the coolest thing in the world, wouldn't you say?
Oh, no, there's no question about it. Now, in a helicopter, can a guy like Will Ferrell change uniform to uniform to uniform?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Will's a big guy. And, you know, I've mentioned that to the folks I'm, you know, coordinating this with for whoever's going to fly him, that say, you know, he's a big guy, so you better make sure he can fit in the helicopter. But that's a good idea. I never thought he'd have to change uniforms in flight, in route, on board.
Mm-hmm. So the itinerary again today, not that you're involved in this in any way, shape, or form other than being consulted as far as I know or as far as you're willing to admit to, but the itinerary today is what again, Bruce?
Well, the itinerary today is it's sort of I'm sworn to secrecy with everything I've been able to help them with to set up the itinerary, and they want it to be this really great surprise. So that's as far as I can go on that. Once again, I'm on double secret probation.
I see. Well, you've added a lot to today's show in terms of intrigue. Okay, and it sounds like you're going to be a busy guy, and it sounds like I should probably call you tomorrow for more information on how the day went.
You know what? If you call me tomorrow, we'll get back on your show with all your fans and listeners. And we can probably have some information as to how Will's day went. Will Ferrell, you know, Anchorman, Ron, you know, Burgundy.
Sure.
Everything. The guy's been in 100 films, and, I mean, the guy has covered every spectrum of entertainment. He's a writer. How much bigger does it get than that? And when I told my wife, Lisa, told my kids what I was doing, you know, they all are lining up, and they want to meet Will Ferrell. Like they think I'm flying them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and as far as I can tell, you're not. But, you know, what do I know?
Oh.
I'm just sitting here poolside in Vegas. So
there you go. All right, buddy, I'm going to the gym. We'll talk with you tomorrow, Brad. Always great to hear from you. And thanks for Eric, your producer, setting this up, and Jared Cohen, my good friend, family friends with the Cohens. So we'll probably get in touch with you tomorrow. How about that?
All right. You enjoy your day, and I'll talk to you soon. There's Bruce Halfman.
All right, Brad.
See ya. He's one of the best guys around, I know. That's terrific people. So that's going on today. I have to wonder, Eric, they're going to allow Will Ferrell to catch. Okay. That's, of all positions, I think Will Ferrell, when he's behind home plate, is the one that MLB's got to just be holding their breath on.
Yeah, you know? I don't know how a pitcher, I mean, if you're a pitcher and Will Ferrell is catching you, I'm not sure exactly why you would do that, but I guess you have to do it, and you just have to live with the consequences. So
yeah, there's some pitcher at some ballpark today that was told, hey, by the way, we know you're auditioning for this team, but Will Ferrell's going to be your catcher today,
right,
so
right.
You're screwed.
Yeah, I know you want to be our fifth starter, but
right.
I should just let you know that Will Ferrell is going to be putting the fingers between his legs, and you're going to be throwing to him, so just make those pitches count.
Because when he's pitching, they're just going to lay down a bunt, I would think, or some guy's going to get up there and just jack it out. All right. So some other stuff going on today on a serious note. DeMarco Murray is about to sign with Philadelphia. We'll see if that happens. I have to tell you, yesterday up here in Vegas, watching Arizona State completely, totally, unequivocally crap the bed, there's no other way to put it. No other way. USC was dead. USC was done. USC is not good at all. There's a reason why they're the worst team in the Pac-12 this year. And Arizona State had played. USC was trying to get beat. They were so bad yesterday. And then ASU just quit. They're up 14 with the ball with 9 minutes to go. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff. I was a color analyst during the Headache Smith years when they were shaving points. Okay, that was bad, obviously, and illegal. What we saw yesterday was just utter, I don't even know how to put it into terms. I don't want to say chaos because they weren't playing chaotic. They just were kind of going through the motions. They stopped. And, you know, Herb's sitting there trying to explain it afterwards, and my phone is lighting up. Twitter's just blazing him. He was asked afterwards about what happened against USC yesterday.
I think our defense really let us down. They shot 58% in the second half, and obviously we weren't knocking shots down at our end. And you got to give SC a lot of credit. They did a good job coming back. I thought Elijah Stewart was the difference maker in the game. We really didn't have an answer for him.
Okay, first of all, I'm not going to give USC a lot of credit. And I saw Herb last night at the MGM afterwards, and I happen to very much like him personally, but I wrote a column about this. They're barely above 500 in his run here in 9 years. And if you want a program that's nice and clean, that's not going to get you in trouble because football is the priority, I think that's what Ray Anderson has here. But I think Ray aspires for more than that. I talked to Ray before yesterday's game, just very casually, sitting right behind me. I can't imagine anybody at ASU can just stand there and say, well, you know, this was a transition season. Jahi wasn't here. We had a freshman point guard. And we're disappointed with what happened, but we feel good about the direction of the program overall. I mean, that's essentially what I'm going to get. And I can't imagine people rolling that off their tongue today. And this isn't, oh, give it some time to sink in. You know, look at what we accomplished this year. You beat U of A at home once. You lost to Lehigh at home. I mean, come on. Kent Summers is going to join us on the other side. We're going to talk to Kent about things going on around the Cardinals, all these signees. And, you know, a week later, I think we had Kent on about a week or two ago. Where does he believe the Adrian Peterson sweepstakes is heading? And of all these guys that they signed, who does he really like the most? Which one is the most curious to him? That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Sports 360, AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Back poolside at the MGM in Vegas. Day two of the Pac-12 tournament brought to you by Santan Ford. Brad Sussmat on the road. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Yesterday was just a train wreck of train wrecks around ASU basketball. U of A playing later today against Cal. There's really no team here that should touch U of A. There's very little drama. Other than just play these 40-minute games, get them out of the way, and U of A should roll through them. Nobody's even close to them. And USC is just the worst of the worst that I've seen of a Pac-12 team. Yesterday was one of the lowest marks. I've been in the Valley 22 years, went through the Headache Smith point shaving stuff. That was really bad. This stuff that I saw yesterday, blowing a lead like they did, just a train wreck. And what happens with Herb? ASU's going to say, oh, well, you know, we're making progress and all that stuff. Got to give him a new building and all that. Or does Ray Anderson say, you know, we've been a 500 program for 5 years or for 9 years. So fortunately, the Cardinals have been making a lot of news. Kent Summers joins us now, AZ Central Sports Cardinal Insider. Did you ever have the ASU beat? I'm trying to remember if you've been on the ASU beat.
I covered the beginning of the Bill Frieder era, and then I can't remember what happened, but I actually was substituting in during the point shaving game, so I was on and off for a more than a few years.
Yeah, well, not much has changed. They're still pretty mediocre after, especially yesterday and the disaster.
Yeah, that was had to be crushing for them to be what, up 17 in second half.
15 up, 15 up, 14 with 9 minutes to go with possession, and
wow,
just, and USC had more turnovers than shots made with 10 minutes to go in the game. So you got to work pretty hard on that. Speaking of working hard, so on your end of things, let's get to the business of the day. Brian Arakpo, do you expect him to come in, or is he going to Tennessee? What do you think?
Hard to say right now. No one's really talking. The last report I had was that he was staying overnight in Tennessee. He was going to come here if he didn't have an offer. Last I heard, he was still in Tennessee, which leads you to believe the Titans are making an offer through his agent, Ben Dagra. So, we'll see. It sounds like if the Titans, you know, make him a decent offer, he'll stay. And the Titans have a lot of money under the salary cap, but they've been pretty prudent about spending it so far. They haven't been just throwing it at guys.
Okay, Nate Irving is visiting the Cardinals. Is that still in place?
That's in place. He arrived last night. He's visiting them today. You know, another guy, young guy, coming off injury, which seems to be kind of the theme of the Cardinals so far this free agent period, but really a decent player when he's healthy. He had a sprained MCL, missed about half of last season. And I guess if the Cardinals were to sign him, he would be a backup if Darryl Washington returns, I would think. If Darryl doesn't return, then I guess you could plug Irving and Weatherspoon into the starting lineup, at least tentatively.
Talking with Kent Summers, AZ Central Sports Cardinal Insider. Of all the moves that they've made, I don't want to go line by line, which of all the moves that they've made do you think was the best, in your opinion?
That's a really good question. I really like, it sounds strange given Weatherspoon's injury history, but I really like that acquisition from everything I've heard about him, and after meeting him yesterday and seeing him play a few times. If I think his injuries have been bad luck rather than a body breaking down, and he's only 27 years old. From what I understand, he's sort of an alpha dog. Guys tend to gravitate to him. He seems to have a real engaging personality, and you know, he can play every down. So for 1 year, $3.8 million, I thought that was definitely worth the risk in signing him. You know, the Upati deal is interesting to me. I didn't think they would go after somebody who was that accomplished, who would cost that much money. But I really like, you know, it may hinder them maybe from a standpoint of salary and cash output and going after some other people maybe, but man, put him next to Jared Valdir, and 3rd and 1 just got a lot easier for the Cardinals.
The move that you look at and you're scratching your head over still?
Let me think. Really nothing. The only one, I guess, on a very minor scale is, you know, signing the center guard, A.Q. Shipley. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that, you know, Baltimore cut at the end of camp last year that Indianapolis picked up, and then he was benched, you know, 5 or 6 games into the season. He seems to be what they already have in Ted Larson, who's already a backup guard center. And, you know, I think looking at it from afar, it appears Ted Larson's a better player. I thought if they would bring in a center, it would be somebody who clearly would take the job from Lyle Sinline, and I don't think that's the case.
The future of Jonathan Cooper with the Arizona Cardinals is at what position?
It has to be right guard now, because it's clear Upati's going to play the left side where he played every game, you know, in his career with the 49ers, and you move Cooper to the right side. And he'll have plenty of time to get used to it there. He played there just a little bit. Of course, last year he played everywhere just a little bit. So I think they go with Upati and Coop at the guards and see what happens.
I've had questions on a lot of them from fans after the Upati signing, wondering if Jonathan Cooper was going to be an Arizona Cardinal, if he's somebody that could be moved. Sounds pretty definitive on your end. That's not the case.
Yeah, I don't think they're interested in moving. I mean, you don't want to, you never say never. Certainly they're not going to release him. You know, they think he could still be a very good player. He just needs to get past the injury problems, not only physically, but mentally. As much as physically, so. But it's a critical year for him. It's a, you know, he needs to show this year why they took him 7th overall 2 years ago.
You know, we always go through this in the off season and look at moves that are made. I would say today on March 12th, the Arizona Cardinals are a better football team today than the one that finished the season in Carolina. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. I mean, I think as we've talked about, there's some questions about some of these players from a injury standpoint, but at least they've addressed needs. They needed, you know, they needed help on the interior of the offensive line and got it. They need to bolster their defensive line after losing Dockett. And I really like the rotation now they've got with the addition of Peters and Redding. They can really maybe go 5-6 guys deep and keep people fresh. You know, the one thing they haven't done so far is running back. I think that's still on the table. I think there's still a lot of different ways they could go there. But I like what they've done so far. They've shored up weaknesses and given themselves some flexibility in the draft, I think.
It seems to me, Kent, that you know, a lot of NFL rosters are really good, 1 through 35, 1 through 40, but it's those ones that between 35 and 53 are not very deep, that those teams get hammered, that this team is much deeper now on the back end of the roster than they were in the past.
Yeah, and if there's one of the biggest improvements they've made under the Steve Kymbrusarian's regime is they're more willing to churn that bottom of the roster and look for guys, and Arians is really willing, sometimes out of necessity, but willing to play guys right away who haven't been here very long, and or at least find a role for them. And, you know, they'll continue to look. That whole thing is going to be, you know, I would say the last, you know, 10 roster spots, they're going to be unsettled through the end of training camp, and the Cardinals have been very successful in finding guys who help. And we all make a big deal out of the first week of free agency, and for good reason, but, you know, in Kime's 2 years, he's had as much success picking up guys late as he has early.
Talking with Kent Summers for a couple of minutes. No, I think clearly that's a great point you bring up. The running back situation, okay, you said earlier they go a lot of different directions. I don't want to spend hours and hours and hours because you don't have time, I don't have the time. But in a nutshell, if Murray signs in Philadelphia, Adrian Peterson to Dallas, Adrian Peterson to Arizona, Adrian Peterson stays in Minnesota. What do you see with Adrian Peterson if Murray signs in Philly?
I look at it, I think the most likely is he stays in Minnesota, and I don't think he, you know, either of the other two teams are going to pay him that much money. I mean, to come here or to go to Dallas, you know, he would have to take, I think, a decent amount less than he's due to make in Minnesota. I think the Cardinals would still be interested and intrigued, and it would all depend on what Adrian Peterson wants from a money standpoint and what the Vikings want from a trade standpoint. If you know, AP does force his way out of there. This is a very deep draft in running backs, from what I understand. I think, you know, teams in the third through sixth rounds can get guys who could contribute according to what I've read. So I think if the Cardinals don't get a back in this first wave, that maybe they'll wait and until after the draft. And I would think free agent running backs would be maybe a little hesitant to sign close to minimum deals before the draft, because all of a sudden the team drafts, you know, a guy in the first, second, or third rounds, and you're left without a role.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like if Peterson wants out, that the Cardinals would have to be right in the middle of that mix. The question is, does he really want out? And I'm sure that's the million-dollar question you've been working on.
Yeah, and what will be the price tag? What's the market for him? What will DeMarco Murray get in with the Eagles? You know, it's been in this day and age, it's a soft market for running backs. There, people aren't paying a ton of money. So what are the Eagles going to give DeMarco Murray? How much more is Adrian Peterson worth? And first of all, he has to be reinstated by the, you know, get reinstated by the league and work all that out. That has to be a, you know, reach a finality. And I really genuinely think the Vikings don't want to let him go. I think, you know, Mike Zimmer is their coach, is a pretty persuasive guy and a straight shooter. I would think he could do a good job in recruiting Adrian Peterson to stay, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so if Peterson's out of the mix, guys like Ryan, fans are texting me and sending notes on all these running backs, Ryan Matthews, and, you know, right down the list. They could go that direction. If it's the draft, Melvin Gordon's not going to be there at 24. Let me throw this scenario at you. We saw Seattle trade their first-round pick in the Jimmy Graham deal. The 24th pick is sitting there for the Cardinals, but are they really going to find something of value at running back, or is that a pretty valuable chip to throw into the equation if you're going to go after a big name like Peterson?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know that they would give up a number one pick in the Adrian Peterson deal. I just don't know. I guess you could look at it from a couple of standpoints. They took Deon Buchanan last year at the bottom of the first round. Well, you know, would you throw Deon Buchanan for Adrian Peterson? Probably. But then teams view that number, that first round pick as a very precious commodity, and
sure,
and especially to a guy like Steve Kime, a scout at heart, he does not want to part with draft picks. But we'll see. So many things have to come together in the Adrian Peterson thing. It's going to be fascinating to watch how that happens or doesn't happen, and how quickly it might happen.
All right, we'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time, and I know you've been busy. Thanks for bringing us up to speed. Stay well.
All right, thanks, Brad.
See you. There's Kent Summers for a couple of minutes, AZ Central sports columnist. on the Cardinals insider, I should say. And he's a columnist too when he wants to. He's very good. There you go on that front. So in staying with the Cardinals, here's Mike Iupati, who yesterday signed with the Cardinals. And for him, it was a no-brainer coming to Arizona.
I just think it's perfect fit for me and my family. And I really think that the program organization is really cool. And honestly, they have a good team. And I'm really excited to just jump in and contribute and hopefully get the goal that we always want.
There you go on that front. All right, we'll take a break here. On the other side, we'll continue on from Vegas. Before we go to the break, actually, this segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The Santan Ford, the Fusion Hybrid. I'm driving a 2015 Fusion Hybrid, and I like it a great, great deal. The Fusion Hybrid, I decided that I wanted a vehicle that would get me over 40 miles to the gallon with a hybrid. I'm getting 45 miles to the gallon. And as busy as I am, as many places as I go, when I'm on my sales runs during the day, or I'm done with the show, or I'm running to the Cardinals facility, or out on a story, I need a vehicle that's dependable, it's reliable. General Manager Tim Ovick and company, they're very involved with all the sports teams, but in particular, the partnerships that they have with the Diamondbacks, with Arizona State, and with the Cardinals. And so they're involved in the community. I received a note from somebody with Tim the other day about they've got a charity event coming up next month they'd like for me to be involved in. And he does a lot of charity work, a lot of great stuff there. And that's a place where if you're looking for that new car, that new truck, or that certified pre-owned, you get involved and do business with those types of people. It's a great partnership for you. It's been for me. Stop in and see the difference yourself. That's at Santan Ford, just off Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, we appreciate their support here at the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, the story of the day being Will Ferrell. A little bit more on that. I'm going to break down. I literally wanted to break down watching the end of the ASU game yesterday, but more on the Pac-12 tournament here in Vegas. Suns played last night, and they weren't very good, but they won. And much more as we continue on from the MGM Grand. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360, AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. So yesterday, while I'm finishing up the show, a couple of ASU fans came over and said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, USC was beat up the last time you played them, but you should really beat them easily." "Oh, yeah, you know, we're going to roll right through them. We're going to roll through UCLA, and then we're going to play U of A on Friday night." First half gets played yesterday. I thought ASU played efficient. I thought they had more than ample opportunity in the first half yesterday to put the foot down on the throat and push on USC. USC was dying to quit and get their season over with. Pat Hayden looked like somebody had ran off with his dog and he'd eaten a bad meal. And he was sitting right behind the Trojan bench. Eric, I'm not impressed with Andy Enfield as a head coach. I mean, that's one of those things, right place, right time. And he scored going to USC. But, man, that was like watching bad club basketball at a junior college yesterday. It was just brutal the first half.
He's one of those coaches where he made a run in the tournament and got everyone's attention, and USC's like, "Oh, he's the next Mark Few. He's the next young, up-and-coming, small, mid-major coach," and, well, he has pretty much just completely flamed out at USC. And to be fair, I mean, USC is a football school. It will always be a football school. But you would think in the Pac-12, USC could do better than a 12th-place finish.
I don't think they're going to fire Herb, and I could be wrong on that. People say, "Well, they gave him an extension." That's the first thing I hear. "Well, didn't they just give him an extension?" Yeah, and doesn't matter. There's enough money out there from big cigars. The big cigars were not happy yesterday. I heard from a couple of them. They weren't happy. And I think you like Herb, don't you?
I do like him, but again, it all goes back to this, Brad, and we've talked about this on this show. What are the expectations for ASU basketball? Is 20 wins and getting to the tournament and winning one game, is that considered a successful season? I don't know. I mean, you look at the way the program has gone, ASU has never been able to capitalize after getting that one great recruit. James Harden comes in, James Harden plays well, he's a megastar, and then he leaves, and then ASU just sort of falls back. Jahi Carson comes, they make a decent run, he leaves. Next season, they just kind of fall back.
Yeah. I don't know Ray Anderson well enough, but I know that he is a competitive man coming from the National Football League. And I would have to think on his end, if you just look at the numbers, okay, the wins and losses, could you make the argument, well, Herb's done a hell of a good job because he hasn't had the resources, he hasn't had the commitment, he hasn't had this, he hasn't had that. And my response is, I don't know. He has one of the best practice facilities around. When they first unveiled the Weather Up Center, they didn't want to have us come over there and make a big deal out of it. I remember that on TV. It's like, well, we just kind of want to downplay this. And you walk through there, and it's a very, very nice facility. Where he's playing games right now is a dump, but that doesn't matter to me. They'll say, oh, well, this is how you recruit kids. I don't know. James Harden showed up, and he came. Was it because Scott Parra came? Or is it because, you know, he liked the whole program? Jahi Carson was a good player, finished on a negative note in my mind. But the recruiting aspect of it, when I hear the what I consider to be excuses, is it a fact that the arena is a dump? Yes, it's a fact. But if you're going to use that as a crutch, I can't believe that every other school in the country that has had success in college basketball is playing in state-of-the-art, beautiful, wonderful facilities. I don't believe that. When you lose at home to Lehigh, you're going to be put on the radar screen. And it's not just losing at home to Lehigh. When you go to Utah and you get absolutely, unequivocally embarrassed, doesn't matter how good Utah is, they were just beyond bad. When you go to Tucson at the start of the year and Trey Holder doesn't play down there at all, and afterwards you say, we just don't know what we're going to do with our point guard situation, and then suddenly Trey Holder has a pretty good year, it makes you scratch your head and say, guys, why was he not playing all season long? He's a good player. Yesterday he had two fouls, and McKissick had two fouls in the first half, and they still had a double-digit lead. To lose like they did yesterday is an enormous setback. I don't want to hear this, well, we weren't going to go to the tournament anyways. We're just needing to push the reset button, and everything's going to be fine. No, that narrative's gone on for entirely too long, and you know, to fire Herb now would appease some. I think there's others that say our basketball program's not in trouble. Look at the team GPA. And if that's what you want to look at, it goes back to your point, Eric. Then it's just, okay, we have a program that is not in the radar, that's not going to do much harm, and we're going to get our football stadium done, and we're going to hit on our donors for football, 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 because that's the revenue generator. It's fine. That's where I think we are. You know, and it's yesterday was really, really interesting to me because you win that game. UCLA's not very good at all. They're not deep. And then you have U of A. You beat them once. Doesn't mean you're going to beat them twice. But I don't think this is a great U of A team. And the rest of this tournament, Utah's a nice team. Randall shot one out of his backside last night for Stanford. Colorado's been beat up all year. And Oregon's a good little story, but Eric, there's nothing up here that makes me think these are great juggernaut power teams. And that's why when you're a fifth seed and you lose to a team that's in dead last place, it's more than frustrating and more than aggravating around this team. So I feel much better now. Here's Herb Sendek, who did say after the game yesterday, we do have a lot to be proud of this season. He said this.
I think this team probably improved as much as any we've had from the beginning of the year to the end, even from the start of conference play through the end of the regular season. We've had a number of individual players with the same kind of significant improvement.
I don't know. That's Herb's personality, though. He is going to talk in glowing terms about the improvement of a team. I guess if you're in a math class and at the start of the year, you're a C or D student, and by the end of the year, you're getting B's, and then on the final exam, you get a D or an F. Yesterday was an F for them. I went in that locker room yesterday. It looked like all their dogs got run over. They were just beyond disbelief. There was no. And you start asking them about the NIT. The NIT is not even a given now in this world because the NIT wants to find those teams that had a run in March in their conference tournament. So let's say it's a school like Colorado. And if Colorado finds a way to win over Oregon and then they make it into the semifinals, even though they don't have a record like ASU had, that could be a team that goes. I'm just done with the NIT stuff every year. And that leads me over to U of A. So Sean Miller's team, he's done a good job of coaching. I don't necessarily get into the whole he should be coach of the year in the Pac-12. I think that's just how people in Tucson and people that wear red, white, and blue believe that everything should be around the U of A. And U of A is the greatest this and the greatest that. And in some ways, it's a little obnoxious. You know, you can't have everything, and you can't sit there and say everything is in place. And I don't mean this towards Greg Byrne or even Sean. It's just the fan base has this, we're superior to everybody, and we've got it all figured out. And you know what? This really isn't the best team that I've seen Sean put on the floor, but he thinks they've gotten better.
In our three losses, I think we improved and learned from each of those three setbacks. You know, if you watch this kind of overcome the first one, I think moved in a good direction, and hopefully, you know, as we're playing right now, you can look at our team and feel like we're playing our best of the year.
Here is more from Sean Miller, believing that they are ready for the big stage.
March is how we're all defined, and you know, you can embrace it or not embrace it, but. You know, the NCAA tournament, it captivates America. It's as big as it's ever been, and, you know, everyone focuses just on that.
Well, they should take care of Cal today. They should take care of UCLA. They should go to the finals, and they may get pushed in the finals. It would be, in my opinion, a complete upset for them to roll, for them to not roll through this tournament and for them to run into a speed bump and get eliminated up here. It's unfortunate. There's a buzz up here, Eric, but it's the same deal as we saw the last couple of years. It's 85 to 90% U of A fans up here. This is a red, white, and blue convention. That's what it is. And the other teams that they're playing, there's very few UCLA fans here. They don't care. The USC people that are up here is like family and friends. There's, I don't know, 20, 30 people there because USC basketball blows.
Tucson North. That's what they've called it in the past, and that's what the U of A contingent will continue to call it, because it seems like at this time every year, the entire city of Tucson somehow finds its way up to Vegas and somehow packs that MGM Garden Arena.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's good for the conference. You know, it goes back to, yeah, you have both LA schools playing each other today. It's 2:40 in the afternoon. It's not going to draw flies on television out in Los Angeles, those that can even see the Pac-12 network.
But those people in LA, they don't need to go to Las Vegas. They have beaches and they have things to do and parties to go to and great restaurants. People in Tucson, no offense to Tucson, but any excuse for those people to get up to Vegas and watch some great basketball and maybe do a little gaming and lay out by the pool, it's a perfect opportunity.
Now, I would just like to see Utah's a 3 seed. I think Utah's a little bit better than Oregon. Oregon's the 2 seed. They're playing better. But really, are these teams squads that can push them? I think when you get into March Madness, Utah and Oregon, as we sit and look at them right now, they're a 6, 7, 8 seed. I mean, they're somewhere in that range. They're not a 2 or a 3 or a 4 or 5. They're just okay. Not ripping on the tournament, just I'd like to see some depth. And I think it goes back to my frustration over what happened yesterday up here. On the other side, so what does Chip Hale think about Will Ferrell being added to the Diamondbacks roster today? Somebody sent me a note last night when he saw the Will Ferrell playing in all the positions today. And my stance has been, you know, when you're trying to distract people from your product on the field or on the court, you have to do things to take the attention away from what's not a great product. This is bigger than that, though. Will Ferrell's doing this for cancer. It's for a movie. It's not just the Diamondbacks. It's around the Cactus League. So we'll hear from Chip Hale on that. Much more as we continue live from the MGM Grand. I'm Brad Sussmat. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. 60AZ, AZ Central Sports.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Back here at the MGM Grand, getting ready for this afternoon's matchup, U of A and Cal at the Pac-12 basketball tournament, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Brad Sussmat, poolside here at the MGM Grand. During the break, DeMarco Murray, according to Adam Schefter on Twitter, $21 million guaranteed, $18 million for skill and injury. Murray got what Dallas did not expect, according to Adam Schefter. So with that, $8 million or so for Murray from the Eagles, couple things here. What was the cap room reasoning for getting rid of LeSean McCoy? Is that Chip Kelly now being caught in a web? Like, well, the money is not really that different. You could have kept what you had. $8.4 million average, $21 million guaranteed for Murray. That has now come out. So now there's another block in place. We had Kent Summers on earlier, and we didn't know the numbers at the time. So there it is, $8.4 million average, $21 million guaranteed for DeMarco Murray. So where would Adrian Peterson fit in on that side? How much would it take for Adrian Peterson now that that has been established? So that story throughout the day is going to continue to take legs. And now the next shoe to drop will be the focus will go on Adrian Peterson to Dallas, Adrian Peterson to Minnesota, or Adrian Peterson staying with the Vikings.
And one more thing, Brad, just to jump back real quick to DeMarco Murray. I heard yesterday in the press conference, Sam Bradford and DeMarco Murray were roommates at Oklahoma. And DeMarco Murray had already been receiving several texts from Sam Bradford saying, please come play with me in Philadelphia. So clearly the recruiting process worked, and those two are apparently very close, and now they're going to be teammates again.
Okay, so on the running, sorry about that, the running back side of things, I'm looking at a tweet right now from Tom Pelissero. Top running back contracts, money years. Adrian Peterson is number one at $14.5 million. Marshawn Lynch is number two at $12 million. Jamal Charles at $9 million. Arian Foster at $8.7 million. And then DeMarco Murray. So there's a $2.5 million difference between Lynch and Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, the top at running back. So he makes, you know, Murray goes to Philly. The Vikings are sitting there with a lot of money tied up in Adrian Peterson. And is it overwhelming that Adrian Peterson has to go back to Minnesota? I mean, really that much of a love affair, and is everything really that strong? Or is he one of those guys that needs to push the reset button because he's going to get paid wherever he goes? Or is it he needs the $14.5 million for whatever's happened off the field? We don't know all that backstory. You know, people want to talk about just what he can do on the field. He may be in a spot where he's got to have $14.5 million because what's happened off the field, has it hurt his endorsements? Has it hurt his bank account? Are there other things personally in his life that are draining him? So, hey, $2.5 million to stay in Minnesota, suck it up and deal with it. That may be the way to go. So that just came down as we're talking. Will Ferrell today is going to play in the Cactus League in five Cactus League games today, benefiting Cancer for College and Stand Up to Cancer charities. He's going to play 10 positions in Cactus League games today. We had Bruce Hafner on earlier, helicopter chopper pilot extraordinaire. Bruce was very coy. Bruce was very evasive. I have to believe that Bruce Hafner is involved in some of this because he said he's been consulted on it, but he wouldn't tell us in what way, shape, or form other than, can he land somebody on five different home plates today at Cactus League games? One of those games is going to be the Diamondbacks. Here is Chip Hale. The Diamondbacks added Will Ferrell to their roster for today for charity and also for a movie he's working on.
Oh, we're excited. It's always exciting to have that. It's fun. It's spring training, and he's going to play some position. I'm not sure where yet. And he'll play somewhere for the Reds. So when we're on offense, hopefully we can take advantage of him. But wherever he plays for us, we're looking, you know, we expect him to play major league caliber defense. I'm sure he figures the same out himself.
Hey, Chip, on line one, it's Derek Hall. Hey, so we're going to do this thing with Will Ferrell, and we need you to, what? Huh? What are you talking about? No, this will be good. He's in a movie, and we're going to have our marketing team together, and we're going to get everybody together, and this will be great. And it's for charity. Okay, it's cool. All right. So it's my first year managing. I try to prove myself. I'm trying to learn things. But on the 12th of March, it's going to be an absolute circus, and I just got to deal with the 12th of March is basically a day that will be a day I'll remember forever when it's on the big screen. But from a work standpoint, it's not going to be a whole lot. There you go. That's the answer that probably came down the pike to Chip Hale. Because you know that all these major leaguers and minor leaguers are like, hey, Will Ferrell's going to be here today. Hey, Will Ferrell's going to be here today. Hey, we're talking about 20-something. So they're into Anchorman. They're into all these movies that Will Ferrell's made. So, you know, that's what today. It's fine. It's for a good cause. It's one day of spring training. Spring training is endless. It's mindless at times. What's Chip Hale going to say? Well, I'd rather have a good day's worth of work. It's a real distraction, but we're going to have to deal with it because it's being pushed down our throats. That's not what he's going to say. And baseball needs the attention. Baseball desperately needs the attention. They're off the radar screen. And I'm a big fan of the game, but again, it goes back to spring training so far. There's been some very good things. Drury's played great at second base for the Diamondbacks. He's played terrific. Cole Mentor being named their opening day starter. They got it right out of the way early on. I just feel like for this spring, it's let's get through it. We know our team's not going to be great this year, so let's have as much fun as we can and get people interested in things other than what's on the field. And maybe they surprise everybody. Here in Vegas in May, it's going to be Mayweather and Pacquiao. And you can't go anywhere around the strip without seeing the images of Mayweather. There's a big image of Mayweather I'm looking at right now here at the MGM Grand that's up on the entire hotel. And you walk through the hotel and it's everywhere. This will be, finally, I can't remember the last time we had a fight that had this much buzz, this much interest. And maybe it's just fight fans are starved for it. But a lot of dudes were at the ticket line yesterday trying to get information on Mayweather-Pacquiao. And they held their first press conference yesterday. Here is Floyd Money Mayweather on taking on Pacquiao here in Vegas.
I'm in the gym working right now, dedicating myself to the sport, pushing myself to the limit, because I never wanted to win a fight so bad in my life.
Now, there's a lot of people up here think Mayweather's a phony and want to see him get smashed. And then there's people think Pacquiao's on the backside of it. Whether he is or he isn't, it's very intriguing. Here is more from Manny Pacquiao. I've earned everything in my career getting ready for this.
I came from nothing into something, and that's I owe everything to God. He gave me this blessing, so it's all credit to the Lord.
There you go. So, went in the press conference there yesterday. I kind of get the feeling on this that Pacquiao is the one that fans would like to see over Mayweather, just because Mayweather's been so much flash. And Eric, correct me on this if I'm wrong, but when we have Jimmy Vaccaro on, he's not a big Mayweather guy.
No, he's like, not. Not at all.
Yeah. I may go down the strip and see Jimmy. Left somebody on from the sportsbook yesterday on it. Hour two is next from the MGM Grand Poolside. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. Plenty of content up on our site. We're Arizona-centric from the Pac-12 tournament.